There are a whole lot of people in Author Accelerator's book coach training program who don't want to have a whole new career. What they want is meaningful work that they can do in a small amount of time. And maybe that's because they want work to support their writing career, or maybe they're home raising children and they can only work a certain number of hours, and finding work they can do from home is the dream. At Author Accelerator, we support all kinds of book coaches, and we support people who only want to do it part-time. The week of January 23rd, I'm going to be hosting two 30-minute events that will show you how you can get through our training program if you only have 30-minute chunks of time. Come check it out if you're curious about book coaching and want a really meaningful and cool new side gig in 2023. The link to sign up is in the show notes.
The recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay.
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone and try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause. I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now one, two, three. Okay.
Hey, I'm KJ Delantonia, and this is the Hashtag Am Writing Podcast, the weekly podcast about writing all the things, short things, long things, fiction, nonfiction, pitches, proposals, weekly emails to your readers. This is the podcast about sitting down and getting your work done. And I'm KJ. I am the author of The Chicken Sisters and In Her Boots, as well as the nonfiction book, How to Be a Happier Parent, and the forthcoming in 2023 sometime novel, Playing the Witch Card, which I'm super excited about. And I am sitting here solo today with one of my cats, Yoshi, who may or may not be purring directly into the microphone. But I have removed the keyboard at least, so that's always a triumph over Yoshi. I'm solo for our annual goals episode, which is a little strange because we are all about the goals, and usually this episode is one of our favorites to record. And we did record, and I'm sure you probably heard, our looking back at I'm just going to set weekly goals from now on, and this will be an entirely goal-based podcast. We did record an episode about our annual goals and how we did and what our words of the year were. But when we set out to record this one, I don't know, we just were not collectively feeling it. Serena sighed and said, "My goals are boring." And Jess went, "I haven't set them yet." In part because she had a goal of going to do a family thing and she did it and therefore was gone for much of January. So that kind of left me, and I was really especially captured by Serena's wail, which I share, which is, "My goals are boring." I know that this is a time of year when everyone is totally inundated with goal setting podcasts and, plans and establishing benchmarks and just all things change of the season related. And I do love that energy, and I use that energy, and I have, as always, seized that energy. But what I was really struck by this year is that, for the most part, my goals are more that, better that, same thing, one more time, or just hold, maintain, stick with it. I do have a word of the year, which I'm pretty excited about, and I'll talk about that in a second. But as far as goals go, they're the same goals as I've had for 3 years. Write another book, reach more readers, maybe write a short story. And the thing that has become really true of me and goals is that if I want to achieve them, I know how to do it. So, and things can get in your way. I have had years where, no goal other than survival was ever going to be met. We all have those years. We hate those years. I hope that it's not coming for any of us, but it happens. But in a normal year, if my goal is to write a book or write 6 essays or write a book plus 2 essays or anything like that, I know that I can make that happen by purring. Yeah, I don't have the heart to remove him. I'm sorry. I recognize that that's to some extent unprofessional, but he's having a rough week. We have a guest dog in the house, and the guest dog is mean and chases him. So, purring plus goals. What I was saying was, if I have a goal, I know how to get there. And let me talk about that for a second. There are some rules of goal setting, and we have talked about them before. We've done podcasts about them. We've written, I have written a tiny little ebook, which I linked to in the show notes on the last podcast and will link to again in this one. You can download it anytime. It's called probably Write Your Book in 2017 or something like that, but it is still useful. The key to goal setting is, first of all, it's not a goal if you can't achieve it alone. So, publish a book is not a goal unless you want to indie publish it. I guess, you know, get an agent is not a goal. Sell a book is not a goal. Make the bestseller list is not a goal. Those are, I don't know, they're dreams, they're hopes. But the thing that makes a good goal from a goal setting perspective is the things that you can do to achieve that. First, write a book. To get an agent, you have to know what you want in an agent and have a list of them and have a good query. To make the bestseller list, you got to write a really good book and you need a lot of fairy dust. So I wouldn't even put that. I don't know. Build an altar to that one. That's the way to go there. But the key to a goal is that it be something that you yourself can do the best that you possibly can. So it's not a goal if you can't achieve it. You're allowed. We often do have things off to the side that are out of our control, but that we can do things to move towards. So for example, gaining social media followers, gaining subscribers, those are all, if you can nail some steps that you can make towards your goal, I think it's okay to have a goal that you can't make. And that does include get an agent. But you have to know that you get your gold star, you get your check mark, you get everything, you know, you get to give yourself all the kudos and happiness if you did everything you can. So it's really important to focus on that. Another lovely rule I like to have around goal setting is to avoid amorphous goals. And I'll tell you that even knowing this, I still kind of did this last year. I was recognizing it when I looked over my goals from last year. Sometimes I'll set a goal that is amorphous. And when you do that, when your goal is write more or learn my craft or, yeah, some goals are not measurable. So that's a problem. You want your goals to be measurable. So it is fine to have improve my craft as a goal. It is fantastic, and I have it, to have write a better book than the last one as my goal. But then you need to set some specifics within that in order to feel, you know, in order to make this achievable, in order to look back in December and go, okay, this is what I did towards this thing that I wanted to achieve. So I was listening to Gretchen Rubin on the, was not her podcast. It was How to Be a Better Person, something like that, with a comedian named Chris Duffy, something like that. This is not a regular listen of mine, but Gretchen had dropped it into her feed, so I was listening, and she mentioned using the technique of the streak to achieve a goal, and she noted that if you can streak it, if you can check it off on a calendar every single day, then it's clearly not amorphous. So if your goal is write more, that's a little amorphous. If your goal is write 500 words a day, 6 days a week, or 7 days a week, if you really want to streak, that's not amorphous. You can check that off. You know if you actually did it. So putting a specific on a goal like that, you know, turns it from something amorphous into something achievable. If your goal doesn't lend itself to a single action, you could make a list of things that count. So if your goal is get an agent, then every day you would have to do something toward getting an agent. That could be reading the acknowledgments in a favorite book. It could be making a list of 5 agents. It could be doing some looking around on the query wish list sites. But, you know, move towards goal sort of on your checklist, or every week, you know, maybe keep a post-it that you move around in your calendar from week to week that has a list of these goals. And I mean, this is a great idea. Actually, this is genius. I need to do this too. Put these goals, put them on a beautiful page in your bullet journal. If you, like us, are a bullet journal, but put them on a post-it and move it week to week. And that way every week, or just go back and look at the page, but that way every week you can look at, what am I doing to move toward this? What can I do this week that will help me make this change? What can I help do that will help me achieve this thing? So have a plan. And if you're setting some slightly amorphous goals or some big goals, I mean, you can't write a book by tomorrow. You can't learn to speak Spanish by tomorrow. You can't check that off in a one-day escapade. So have a plan, either for all the steps you're going to take or what the first step is. If you know how you're going to achieve something, then you can start putting things out there in whatever form works for you. So the question to ask yourself is always, all right, great. If my goal is renew my French enough that I can cope in a restaurant, which is one of my goals for this year, how? How are you going to do it? What's the first step? And when will you take it? So for the most part, I've internalized that stuff around goals. And I think that was kind of part of what made looking at doing this podcast just not, I don't know, it was not sparking joy for Serena, and it was sparking stress for Jess, who knows these things, but just wasn't in the headspace for it. And man, you know, we don't have to be. Another Gretchen Rubinism is, this is not a magic date. There's nothing amazing about January 1st. It could be January 15th. It can be February 1st. It can be your birthday. It can be Monday. You know, whenever the best time to make a list of goals is, you know, last month, and the second best time is now. It's like a tree. So yeah. Anyway, what I was saying is I've internalized these, and for the most part, I got that, which made kind of talking about it feel a little less, I don't know, I think we were just a little less excited. But I actually, so that was my first thought. My first thought was, oh no, we've all grown up, and now we're grown-ups, and we set goals, and we achieve them, and we do all the things, and it's not that we're perfect, but we know how to make ourselves better, blah, blah, blah. And that was my first thought, was, well, guess we're just big grown-up writers now. My second thought, actually, was, maybe this is just the energy right now. I feel like, and again, word of the year, love it, theme, love it, totally still coming back to that, but I almost wonder if we were all, I don't know, so blown by 2020, and then yeehaw, I don't know, blown up again for 2021, yeehaw for 2022, we're all back at it, we're going to do all the things, we're going back to normal, everything's going to be great again, and then, you know, it didn't work that way, it never works that way, and maybe collectively our big thing energy is turning inward, let's put it in a nice way. I wonder if Serena and Jess and I are not the only people who are kind of like, I just want to be able to do my thing. I don't want to blow up the world. I don't want to go big or go home. I don't want to do something big and scary and risky, because life feels big and scary and risky. And everything is big and scary and risky. And honestly, just doing the things that I do day to day can be big and scary and risky. So I don't know, maybe we're not the only ones that aren't there. You know, maybe we're not the only ones that want to sit around with a cat on our lap and make small, achievable goals that allow us to continue to be the people that we are while growing into the slightly different people we might like to be next year. So it occurred to me that maybe the thing about this goals podcast wasn't so much that we've done it before and we feel like we've got this, as it was we're just not feeling big goal energy this time. So I would love to hear, if you are listening to this and you have thoughts, something exciting that I hope to do this year and that I am doing, that is not big and risky, but rather actually a renewal, a restoration of the way things used to be, is that I'm trying to chat with y'all in the comments on these podcasts, on these posts, in Substack, or just as a response to the email that you get with this, or I think you can you comment in the show notes? I don't think so. I think you'd have to hit the button and head to Substack to comment, but they're all open to comments for everyone. So if you're also not feeling big goal energy this year, I would love to hear about it, because it's kind of I'm thinking maybe that's what's going on. But that said, I have goals. You have goals. Even if the goal is get myself out and do my job every day this year without feeling overwhelmed or I don't know. The goal might be more Netflix. The goal might be less Netflix, more writing. We've got goals. We got them. They're just maybe they're huge, maybe they're not, but we got them. So what are my goals this year? I'm just gonna pull them out. More of this, more of the same. I'm really hoping to send y'all an essay a month about writing. So I'll throw that out there that I think you're going to get it. I've got some big topics I want to talk about in the world of writing. But on the other hand, I also want to focus more on being reader-facing. I have noticed that some of the writers that I admire, Jen Wiener, Ellen Hildebrand, gosh, just tons of people who are, I'm blanking them right now, Mary Laura Philpott, they have either a weekly or a monthly email that is really, it's about the people that read their books. So while I love spending time with y'all, and I am not going anywhere, and stay tuned for the Butt in the Chair Club, which is coming probably later this month, later this week, I don't know. I also want to have that reader-facing outlet. I want to be talking to the people that read my books and the people that I hope will continue to read my books. And suddenly when I shifted it to thinking about that way, I got really excited. So I'm hoping to do that. I'm going to start with weekly. We're going to see. I'm going to promote that. That email is called Box of Chocolates. It's also in Substack. If you're interested, it's usually what I've been reading and what I'm thinking about in my life. It's not going to be writery anymore. I want to draft a new book. Note that that says draft and not sell. I mean, I'd love to sell it. I hope to sell it. And I know my first step is to spend this month coming up with pitching four ideas to myself, basically, so I can figure out what's coming next. I do want to do those short stories. Those are on my list. And I'm trying to keep a reading spreadsheet this year instead of a reading journal. I think that'll be a more interesting way to keep track of it. So those are my sort of professional goals. Personally, I'm trying to stay closer contact with my parents, get outside more than every other day a month, buy less, use more, write down the highs that I have every week. I've changed the format of my weekly, of my bullet journal. And I'm using one side of the page for what I'm trying to do, or, my goals or my lists and all of that sort of thing. But then the other side is going to be what I actually did. I'm going to write this year in 2022, I tracked my time by hours and I kind of enjoyed that, but I'm realizing it's not so much that I need to know what hours my time goes to as it is that I would like to know what I did that mattered. So I'm going to try to write that down in my bullet journal. So changing that, is a thing for me this year. And yeah, I have language goals. I've decided that learning other languages is just my hobby. I'm weird. Fine. That's what I do. So I have a goal around my Spanish and a goal around my French, and I have traveling goals, and yeah. So I have goals. But what I realized when I looked back over my 2022 goals and what did and didn't happen and why was that in addition to those rules that I was talking about making good goals, having good goals, having the right goals is also both important and challenging. So one of the questions I've asked myself about every one of my goals is why? Why do I want to do that? Because if I know anything, it's that because you set a goal because somebody else thinks you should do it, you're not going to do it. And that is as it should be. We don't give up our goal-setting energy to anybody else. So if your goal is about how others perceive you or what others want from you, bleh, nah, raspberries to that goal. I'm not going to make a raspberry noise into the microphone because I think that would be upsetting for everywhere, but just no. So the question to ask about goals, and maybe I should have done this first, sorry, but what do you want that achieving this goal gives you? Who do you want to be that achieving this goal is a part of? And don't knock that last one. That is a driving thing for me. I want to be somebody who speaks multiple languages. I want to be somebody who moves through the world and can communicate with other people. I would speak all the languages if I could. And the fact that I don't get that many opportunities to do it doesn't actually bother me. There's often this voice in my head going, well, you don't even have a trip planned where you're going to speak French. You just were somewhere and where, and that's when you realized you couldn't do it anymore. And what are you even doing? But the answer is, I want to be that person. That's how I see myself. And it fascinates me and I love doing it. So I get to have it. So when you look at those goals, this is a Jenny Nash. Gosh, I never do anything without quoting my gurus, I guess. So this is Jenny Nash. Know your why. Know your why for writing. Know your why for goal setting. Know your why for everything. So I think that's what I have to say about goals. I didn't get to my word of the year. So if you get the weekly email, y'all already know my word of the year. And if you don't get the weekly email, you totally should, because there is a lot going on in there that is not, it's not just what you listen to. We had a community. That's where you get the weekly or monthly ride-alongs. That's where the Butt in the Chair Club is going to come in, which is the ride-alongs, which I'm going to be doing every week that I can when I'm not on vacation. And those are my baby. That is not Jess and Serena's goal. It's mine. So if you want to do a ride-along, for the most part, you're going to be hanging with me. Anyway, you should be in the email because that's what makes it easier to get into the conversation. And what I'm hoping comes from this conversation is basically a replacement for Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I would rather be in here hanging out with y'all and hopefully maybe in my reader-facing Substack hanging out with readers than I would be out in the universe where the algorithm can throw anything at me that it wants. So I have chosen to place my trust in Substack, and Substack is where my energy is going to be going this year. I think this is old school blogging, kids. I think we're back. I think we're back to enlarging our communities in ways that mean something to us rather than just being open to everyone. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to still be hanging out on Instagram, because I am. I find Instagram fun. I've already bailed on Twitter. Facebook, I don't know. It's sitting there. I don't want it, but I kind of have to do it. So yeah, I got nothing on the Facebook front. I don't know the answer to that. But in any case, the point of that little rant was subscribe. Go to amwritingpodcast.com and hit that subscribe button. If you want to support us by throwing some cash in the coffee mug, fantastic, but you don't have to. We love it. It helps us. It pays us for our times. It pays for the production. It pays for all of the other small expenses that go into this, and they do exist. And if you've got a few bucks a month, I'm going to head in there and make that a totally reasonable amount. It'd be fantastic. But again, you don't have to. we're not, we're really, we just want this stuff to be out there for everyone. Okay. End of that small ramble. Back to the question of words of the year. If you get that email, you already know that my word for this year is choice. And choice is already feeding me in so many ways. I'm going to talk about the personal pieces of it first, because that's what really matters. I have realized that sometimes I have an opinion about, you know, where to go for dinner, or what I want for dinner, or what I would like to do with my afternoon, or which magazine I would like to pitch an essay to, or something like that. But I don't, you know, sometimes I let other people's opinions hold sway without actually making a choice to do that. And sometimes I just don't choose, and then I drift into somebody else's choice or the easiest thing. And sometimes I don't want to express my choice or my opinion because, I don't know, because I was raised in a very gendered society as a woman and as a girl, and so I surprisingly enough, still occasionally like to be agreeable. No one that knows me, I thinks that that's true, but it is. I don't know. There are just a lot of moments when, like I said, I'm just drifting or doing the easiest thing or accepting a choice that's been made for me. I'm surprised how often I need to reference back to this word. I'm now standing in the closet, and instead of grabbing the sweatshirt that's on top, I choose what I'm going to wear. Standing in the kitchen, and instead of, eating the cookie off the plate, I choose the ice cream from the freezer, because this is not about whether or not what I'm eating is quote-unquote healthy at all. It's just, like, take a minute. Make a choice. Do the thing that I really want to do. Figure out what that is. Get good at knowing what I want to do. That has been a theme in my books. May and Amanda Say and the Chicken Sisters, why is it so hard for us to even know what we want? And the answer is because they've never seen anyone figure that out and grab it. Rhett's problem in her boots is that she does know what she wants, but she doesn't have the guts to tell other people or reveal it to other people. I don't know why I get really caught up in the question of what we want and what makes us happy, but it is a perpetual interest of mine. And so choice demands basically that I look at that, that I face it, that I recognize that sometimes I choose to make someone else happy. Sometimes I choose to do something that someone else wants. But again, it's a choice. So I guess another piece of this is that we're all making choices every day, all day long. There is also obviously a political element to the word choice. And while I could discuss that all day long, I'm not going to do it here. This isn't the place for it. But I do want to say that making this my word clarified some things for me around the reasons that I am who I am and do what I do in the political sphere. And that also has been super helpful. I have many people in my life that I don't agree with. And I have realized that one of the things that made that so hard for me was that I had a hard time expressing my opinions. I often felt kind of crushed by people who were either had more facts at hand or frankly were just willing to throw things out into the universe that were not necessarily factual. I often felt really, I would have sort of mental arguments with people because I couldn't manage the actual ones. And clarifying why I vote the way I do and make the choices that I do in my own head suddenly freed me to both have the discussion with people and also to not have the discussion if I didn't want to. I know who I am. I know what I do. And that's actually all I need. And I don't know, man, that was extraordinarily helpful for me. So choice. I love it. Every month I'm going to put a little version of it in my calendar. There's choose, there's decide, there's intention. There's so much that goes into this. I think this really is going to be one I refer back to all year, and I might have a bracelet that has it on it as well. So that is super helpful. So some of the words that other people in our community have come up with are really fun. They are in the Substack discussion. So if you go to amwritingpodcast.com and click on that, you can join in, share your word of the year. I would totally love to hear it. Two people chose stretch, which I think is fantastic. One person described it as reaching the point of delicious discomfort. I adored that. And the great thing, it's so much fun to have a word that has a lot of meaning, you know, that applies in different aspects of your life. Somebody else mentioned lighten. They are trying to lighten their load, lighten their footprint, lighten themselves, lighten their mind, lighten their heart. I thought that was lovely. Somebody chose otter because they want to float and dive, and I loved that one. Also, otters play, and otters are gloriously, otters otter. They're not worried about what anybody else thinks. They're not worried about what cheetahs are doing, man, because they are otters. I love that. Somebody else chose water because it moves gracefully around obstacles and always finds a way through. I love that too. I think about water as sometimes when the people around me are really combative or things are really tough, I think about how things just plunge into water and then the water just closes around them and the water is fine. I like that. I want to be the water. I like craft. That was another one. Bloom, intention, nurture, brave. That's a good one. You got to be brave to say yes, and you got to be brave to say no. We got themes. Some people, sometimes a one word is not enough. I like relish, relegate, and resume. Align, cultivate. Just really good stuff, people. Oh, laughter. Laughter's a really good one. I don't know. Otter might be my favorite. I'm sorry. You're all my favorites, but otter might be my true favorite. Come tell us what your word of the year is and read other people. And it is totally fair to get an idea from somebody else and say, that's what I want. I want that energy in my life too. The odds of you choosing a word that no one else has ever chosen, I feel, are slim. Yeah. Gretchen Rubin achieved it last year with salt, which actually was a great word because you need salt to live and salt adds to everything, but you don't want too much. And also she was interested in, it was a fantastic word, but yeah, I think for most of us, we're just going to be out there going share, float, cultivate. Heck, fine. So we're all basic bitches. That's the way it goes. And that is not gendered. You can be a basic bitch no matter how you identify yourself. Am I cursing? Am I going to lose our clean rating? Sorry about that, universe. I didn't mean it in a bad way. Okay, so this has been, I hope, a really joyful discussion of goals and goal setting. It's been fun for me. I liked doing it. I might just have to get the hang of these solo podcasts as Jess and Serena and I sort out how to best keep going with hashtag AmWriting this year. If you've got things you'd like to hear about, we would love to hear that. If you would have a question, something we can help you with, we did a few of these last year, we'd love to do more. If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast to talk over an issue that you're facing, something that you're trying to achieve in your writing life, something that you feel stuck around, shoot us an email, amwritingpodcast@substack.com. And actually, it might be amwriting. It's amwriting. It's amwriting@substack.com. Amwriting@substack.com. Yeah, shoot an email. And maybe we'll get you on. We'll see what we can do for you and how we can help, because this is meant to be the podcast in which we all figure out the way to get our butt in the chair and our head in the game. So if there's something we can do for you, let us know. That's it for me. I already gave you the catchphrase. I don't feel like I can say it again. As you head into 2023, I hope you find a word that will guide you, and I hope you don't let it stress you. I hope you make your own choices around everything, including when you choose to go along with the people around you in your world. And I hope you keep coming back to Am Writing for more of everything it is that we do. Thanks.
The Hashtag Am Writing podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Listeners, if you're not already signed up to get our emails, you should be. Last week, email subscribers got links to 3 pop-up ride-alongs with me, KJ, and there are more coming, along with thoughts on revision, TikTok, and more that'll only go out to subscribers. Pop your name on the list at amwritingpodcast.com.